Azaxir and his family lived in an underground enclave by the river. It was virtually invisible to the eye until they were less than 20 yards from its main entrance. And it was only visible then because the front door was open and there was a small figure standing in the doorway waiting for them.
Who is this little one?
That's one of my grandchildren.
It was amazing just how human these people looked and acted, once the fact that they were actually genetically engineered rad-resistant snake men was out of the way.
His mother, my first daughter, was under the influence of Bang, and was killed by Baron Demand's Sekmen.
I'm sorry to hear that. Please allow me to offer my condolences.
I need no charity. All I desire is to have the production of the drug stopped, and to return to our normal way of life.
He motioned to two of his sons, who had carried Jack to their enclave, on a makeshift stretcher.
Bring him down into your sister's old room.
I'll go with him.
And get Dari to bring a little syrup to calm the boy's nerves.
Syrup?
I call it syrup, but the people in the human village refer to it as whiskey. A good shot of it will keep him calm till we get back with the antibodies.
Ryan looked at Mildred.
Will that help, Jack?
Mildred shrugged.
Couldn't hurt him.
Ryan nodded, and Mildred followed the two men carrying Jack through the doorway and down under the ground.
The rest of you follow me.
He led them down a flight of stairs, and then to the right, where a table was lit by candlelight and covered with an assortment of dried fruit and vegetables, nuts, bread, and jugs of water.
Dark night.
By the three Kennedys, it's a veritable cornucopia.
Please help yourselves.
The friends needed no encouragement, not having eaten since early in the morning. But even though his friends eagerly dug in, Ryan had more on his mind than food.
We're all low on ammo. We're going to need some if we're going to raid Demandville.
Azaxir smiled.
We might have what you need.
What? I thought you said you only had primitive weapons like your spears. Where'd you get ammo? And if you have it, why aren't you using it?
Because they are the weapons of the evil men, present company accepted, of course. We do not wish to travel down a path that might lead us to embrace their technology and become reliant on it. That path led to destruction for your people.
Okay, if that's what your culture dictates, fine, but that doesn't explain why you still have it.
It was smuggled to us by Moira. She said that if her cell ever got far enough to actually lead a revolt against her baron, then her soldiers would need, a nest egg.
What kind of ammo do you have? We need mostly 9mm and 38 caliber.
And I am in need of somewhat more exotic caliber rounds and materials.
I do not presume to know what we have stored here, but I am sure you would recognize it if you see it.
Azaxir noticed the contented expressions on the companions' faces. It hadn't taken them long to devour the chow.
Enough talk. Your bellies are all full now. So let us get you loaded, so we can get some help for your friend.
He got up from his chair and headed down a flight of stairs, deeper into the ground. Ryan, JB, Doc, and Christy followed. The sec detail inside the front gate was pretty easy. They'd chilled or scared off most of the muties hours ago, and now it was just a matter of staying awake long enough to be relieved by the next watch. But it wasn't as if there was nothing to do. With so many sec men on the gate, a few of them had left their posts and searched the ville for some jolt and dream. Seeing as how that's about all Demandville was good for, it wasn't long until they came back with more than enough hits to go around. JD had taken a half hit of jolt an hour into his watch, and that would probably last until he was finished. That would leave him the other half to take along with a few tankards of ale in the gaudy house the Baroness's sec force had taken over on the eastern edge of the ville. Word was that there were 8 sluts working there full-time, and they didn't seem to be tiring. Some jolt, a few drinks, and a large-breasted gaudy slut to keep him warm added up to one of the best days he'd had since joining Baroness Lashini's sec force 2 months ago. If things kept on like this, then joining the sec force would be the best decision J.D. McDougal had made in his entire 18 years on the planet.
Hey, pal!
J.D. turned around to see who it was, just in time to get a pointed kitchen knife thrust deep into his chest. He reached out to grab his attacker, but the person had turned and fled before J.D. even knew what was going on. Next, he tried to stop the blood from leaking out of the hole in his chest, but it was flowing too strongly to be stopped by a pair of hands. Finally, he screamed as loud as he could, which wasn't very loud at all. And as he began to die, he realized that apparently joining the Sec Force wasn't as good a decision as he previously thought. Azaxir was as good as his word. A few levels down below the surface, Ryan saw the giant stockpile of stolen arms that looked like it contained just about any type of round or caliber size, from shotgun shells to 44 Magnum. He would even be able to provide Doc with enough rounds for 3 reloads of his ancient yet massive Lamah blaster. Ryan had originally wanted to leave the older man behind with Mildred and Jack, but Doc had said that if there was such a thing as antibodies that could ease someone off the drugs they were making inside the Ville, then there was a chance he could convince Eleander to come with him.
That's not why we're going back.
I know.
And we won't be spending any extra time looking for her.
I understand.
And now they were on the outside of Demandville, with 3 more hours before the dawn. Azaxir had led them to the south end of the Ville, where he said there was a path leading over the wall of cars and into the Ville, which was how Moira had been able to leave. Arriving at that section of the wall, Ryan recognized it as being the section of the Ville that had been overrun by muties several nights earlier, although it seemed much closer to the Baron's residence than he remembered. When Ryan told Azaxir about the muti attack he and the other companions had thwarted, the Inheritor leader looked visibly pained.
It is horrible that the lives of my former brothers have been reduced to waiting pathetically at the village wall for the slim chance that they could sneak inside just to get more bang. And they would have made it that time, since the village's sec force was just as drug-soaked as they are. You and your friends probably saved the Baron's life, and inadvertently made our struggle harder.
We can't always get to pick sides in a firefight, especially if we don't have all the information. Usually the side picks us.
There was no way you could have known, especially when my people would have killed you just as easily as the Baron's sect men.
Are you expecting any more trouble tonight?
Hopefully any surviving addicts will be sleeping, and we can enter and leave the village before they know it, if we are lucky.
JB turned to look at his ex here.
And if we're unlucky?
The mutie held up his crossbow.
Then we will have to consider them just as dangerous as the village's sect men, and deal with them accordingly.
Ryan knew how painful it was for the Inheritor leader to say those words. He glanced at his wrist chron.
It's not getting any darker, so it's time we climb the wall.
Baroness Lashini swirled a bit of the amber liquid in her glass and then sniffed it. It was a little stale, but the scent of the brandy still came through. She swirled it around once more, then brought the glass to her lips. The last taste of alcohol she'd had was a bottle of newly made red wine. It had been cloudy, with a thick track of mud on the bottom of the bottle. It had tasted awful, but it had given her a pleasant little buzz. This brandy would do the same thing, only it would taste delicious going down. She brought the glass to her lips.
What is it?
Viviani stepped into the room.
Sorry to disturb you, Baroness, but one of our sec men is dead.
Report.
It looks like he was murdered by someone from the Ville.
The Baroness nodded, then put the glass of brandy back to her lips and drank from it. She took a long moment to savor the taste, then put down the glass.
You sure it wasn't one of Robard's sectmen that did the killing?
No, the man was stabbed in the chest with a small knife, the kind someone might use to prepare food.
Spread the word about what happened to the men and make sure they're all on full alert. Then, when the sun comes up, pick a family at random, one with a couple of children, and bring them to the middle of the Ville. When there's a crowd of people gathered to see what's going on, chill the family and tell everyone that when the next sect man is murdered by someone from this Ville, 2 families will be chilled, and so on. I'm sure they'll get the idea.
Viviani hesitated several seconds.
Yes, Baroness.
Viviani, if you're not comfortable carrying out my orders, I can find someone else to do your duty for you.
That won't be necessary, Baroness.
I didn't think so.
Viviani bowed slightly, then turned to leave the room.
I'm going to nap for an hour, but I'll be down on the street before sunrise. I'm sure you can look after things until then.
Yes, Baroness.